The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus brought him to Jerusalem to present to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined to be for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Today is one of those fancy church feasts, but we only celebrate it, depending on leap years, etc., and so forth, about every 7 years. It's the Feast of the Presentation. And the gospel reading for the Feast of the Presentation, we don't hear all that often, but I'm going to guess those of you who grew up in the Episcopal Church, or maybe the Catholic Church, or maybe even the Lutheran Church, part of today's gospel reading was very familiar to you. Our prayer book phrases it like this: "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." The fancy name for this canticle, Episcopalians, we like to have big words, this song of praise, this confession of faith, is called the Nunc Dimittis, because, you know, it's better if you give it a Latin name, right? Now we know it's really important. But the Nunc Dimittis is read in evening prayer service or at the last prayer service of the night compline. It's likely one of the more memorized songs of praise by those who pray the hours. That would be morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, and compline in the Episcopal tradition. And the Nunc Dimittis has been set to music, one of which we will hear a little bit later. It's been translated. It's been transformed to art. But most of all, I believe this song of praise has been sealed on the heart of faithful people just like you and me. But I often wonder how many people who pray this prayer, myself included, actually remember the circumstances that surround it. Jesus, having just been born, his mother coming to the temple for purification rites, and also to present Jesus, as was the tradition with your firstborn son. At that time, temple life was booming. The money changers, who we'll see later, and the sacrifices that you could buy as big as a bull or as small as two small birds. And these sacrifices were presented many, many times throughout the day. And Simeon, a righteous and devout man, was waiting in the temple. He had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come. And when Jesus arrived, he took Jesus into his arms, took him in, held him, and praised God with the Nunc Dimittis, or as we like to call it when we aren't being fancy, the Song of Simeon. But Simeon sings and praises God for the arrival of the Messiah. And immediately, as soon as Simeon starts, the prophet Anna, that would be prophet woman Anna, just for those of you who, you know, don't want to miss that point. Anna also recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, and she too, she praises God, and she speaks about the redemption. Redemption that Jesus is going to bring. Simeon and Anna are wonderful witnesses. Just what we would expect when the Messiah hits the scene. And yet there's a great irony to this. You see, when the Gospel of Luke was actually written, when it actually got finally put down pen to paper, the temple had been destroyed by the Romans. There was no temple life anymore. You can almost hear the author having some melancholy as he writes, "Ah, remember that time Jesus was presented in the temple, the glorious temple, the temple dedicated to God, where we gathered as a people of faith. And remember what happened when Jesus arrived to be presented, Simeon and Anna. And look at where we are now. No temple, no living Jesus, but an ever-living Christ, a Christ in which we have our faith." Life was very different in Jerusalem when the gospel was written than it was in the day of an age of Jesus. Just a mere 30 years, give or take. Here we have Simeon and Anna freely confessing Jesus as the Messiah. Jews who confess Jesus as the Messiah 40 years later risk losing their family. They risk losing and being cast out of their Torah community. They could easily be outcasts for singing the praises of Jesus, and yet they remained steadfast in their faith, and they continued to tell and to write and to testify to the good news that we have been given in Christ. Which brings us to today, a mere 2,000 years later, give or take a few years. And while the consequences are not as drastic as they were in the years after Jesus died, we still worry about what people will think when we say we're Christian. Right? Maybe not all of you, many of you. And I think it's a challenge. I mean, as listeners today, we come to church, and it's easy for us to sit back and to envision the scenes of Jesus' life, especially the nativity, or today with Simeon coming forward and sweeping Jesus into his arms and crying the song of praise followed by devout Anna. You know that if we were shooting that Hollywood style, it would be a a shot with a soft lens that evoked deep emotion of the moment. But that's not really what's going on, because we actually sit in a seat, not of that soft, fuzzy scene, but in the seat of the author of the Gospel of Luke, removed from the reality of that scene of the life of Jesus. And we can sit here and say, oh, God, isn't it great that Mary and Joseph got some validation, right? Trip to Nazareth had to be really tough, or Bethlehem, you know, all these angels showing up, and at least they come and present Jesus at the temple, and these common people know who he is, thank goodness. But the author didn't write this, I don't think, to evoke a mushy scene at a bustling temple. A temple that we actually know that Jesus came to destroy in his own way. What if the author of the Gospel of Luke, writing after the Romans have sacked Jerusalem, what if the author wants us to remember that we too are to proclaim Jesus as part of our lives? Just like Simeon and Anna. And that soft, deeply emotional scene suddenly gets a bit sharper. We're to do what? In the witness of Simeon and Anna, we have a man and a woman proclaiming Jesus' redemption to both the Gentiles and the Jews, in essence, everyone. And so the author challenges us, the gospel, the good news challenges us. How are we to do the same? We are definitely challenged in our day and age to proclaim, to witness, I'm going to say the E word, to evangelize. Many of us are challenged to whisper that we believe Jesus outside of a Sunday. And with good reason, because a lot of people who engage those words think that they have the right way to live. But that's not what our good news is about. Our good news isn't if you do it this way, you're right. Our good news actually pulls us out of telling others how to live and instead focuses us on how each one of us lives. That's what our evangelism is. That's what our witness is. So it brings us back to the question, how do we proclaim? How do we proclaim as a parish or as an individual our faith in a risen Christ? As a parish, we are thrilled to come on Sunday and sit among people who we know, at least by face, if not by name. And it's great to come here and talk about our faith. But it's a challenge for us to go beyond our walls. And it's why last year, one of the vestry challenges was to get St. Cross into the community. And so last year, and again this year, we'll march in the Hermosa Beach St. Patrick's Day Parade. Woohoo! But the reason isn't to go out and say, Episcopalians are better than the rest of you heathens, you should get in here. All right, we do have the fortune cookies that say, I wish you would come to St. Cross, but still. The point of us being in the parade is to be a faithful witness to who God calls us to be. A community who loves each other, a community who supports each other, and a community who, when we work together, we can be a greater strength for those who need us most. The poor and the sick, and the lonely, and the needy. We proclaim our faith as a community when we do all of those things, when we reach out to someone in prayer, or when we actually take the time to stop and pray for someone who has asked our prayers. And the great thing about doing a parade together is it's much easier to proclaim when we have one another by our side. But then that leaves it, how do we do what we're called to do as individuals. How do we each find our own voice as Simeon and Anna do? Do we invite someone to our Mardi Gras party? Because, hey, it's a party and there's food, so that's always easy. Do you invite someone to church? Do you tell people that your favorite Sunday activity is church, right? Church, then brunch. God, then food. Are you willing to pray in public? Are you willing to ask someone if they want your prayers, even if you know they aren't a person of faith? I want to be clear, there's no one right way to proclaim. There is no one way to witness or to evangelize Jesus is the Messiah. Like Simeon and Anna, we each have our own call. We each have our own fashion, as it were, to work out how we are to live the good news as a witness and a proclamation to others. Like Anna and Simeon, proclaim we must. We have been given the good news, and we have been redeemed in Jesus. So live the nunc dimittis, which means now, go. Amen.